her sitting there. And, you know, Kathy was a good student.
Yes.
Anytime anybody got up, she was taking notes and listening. And she'd ask you questions. She'd ask you questions about what she was interested in. But that rings out in my mind about her being a good student. And even, you know, at her age, you know, just wanting to learn more about the Lord.
Yeah, she was fired up.
Yes, she was. And if I'm not mistaken, she taught.
She did.
Somewhere too.
She did, yes, she did, minister.
And she was just a very fruitful person, and I enjoyed being around her. But just, I think Miss Mary said her, maybe Friday was when they was going to bury, do the brain. But I want to share a scripture with you this morning, and in honor of her, you know, we talked about this last week some too. And we're going to learn something from it today, because Kathy, luckily, she's a good learner and all, but this is. Grace and peace, this is Second Peter. Grace and peace be multiplied in you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. But it used the word multiplication there, you know, and it goes on and it tells us to add things into our life, you know, godliness, virtue, knowledge. But here it says multiplication, you know, so we're going to do a little simple math. But just say seven times seven. Equals 49. And it says knowledge. Knowledge of Jesus. Equals peace and grace. You know, that's what we want in our lives. We want peace and grace. And I got thinking of a man here. He died this year. And you know, the Bible says, in of itself, knowledge will puff you up. You know, you can become puffed up in just a moment. But in raising them grandbabies, all me and Hannah, we, you know, I'd sit down and do math with them. Me and her had a real fun game. And a zero, you know, anytime you multiply something by zero, it always performs.
Zero.
So if you take this out, I mean, you don't have zero. But I got thinking about Stephen Hawking, you know. He passed this year, and he was one of the most knowledgeable men, I guess, on the earth. He was a cosmos, you know, studied the outer space, and he had all these titles, PhDs, and all these out by his name. Yeah. What he was, he had this great, vast knowledge, but yet he was an atheist, and he didn't believe in God. And he fell sick in his early years, and he became bitter and angry, and that's, I guess, where he became an atheist, because of his physical ailments. And finally, his wife, she just divorced him. She couldn't handle him no more. He was just so. But you know, and if you see some of his stuff in his latter days, he just seemed like a real bitter person to.
Yes, he did.
And that's what I kind of think about, you know, always remember Jesus is our multiplying factor.
Yes.
But, you know, there Stephen was, just say he was a million, you know. You know, and knowledge. Thank you. Multiply that by no knowledge of God.
It's zero. Oh,
man.
It's
that's
sad
good,
to say
David.
It, but that's what happens in a person's life. So it's very important
Yeah.
Become knowledgeable of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Remember, he said, hey, learn of me.
Yeah.
You know, that's just how it was. And if a natural person would tell you that, you'd think, man, that's kind of arrogant or whatever. I didn't know that Jesus was natural. He's affable.
He definitely wasn't arrogant.
So we want grace and peace, and Kathy, she's just a tremendous blessing. We'll miss her. Mm-hmm. But you know what?
Wow.
She stepped in. Mm-hmm. What we've been talking about.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
And that's what it's all about. You know. Now we know in part, but then face to face.
Yeah.
She got a smile on her face.
Mm-hmm.
I'll miss her. We'll miss her. But we're glad she's home.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day.
Yes.
We thank you for loving us,
thank
for taking
you.
Care of us, your promise to us.
Yes.
And we thank you for Miss Kathy's life,
yes,
and the blessing she was, and the proof she bore, and how
amen,
she knew you, Lord.
Amen.
And that's what it's all about. Thank you again, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, it's a blessing to learn from the Lord. David, when you said, Jesus said, come and learn of me, that solves a lot of problems. Because when we learn of him, there's so much more we can do. I remember Pastor Jim said something a long time ago. It was some years ago. I came in 06. But around that time, he said, when the knowledge of God, that's the best education you can get. That's a foundational education. And when you learn of him, it's greater than every education.
Amen. Thank you,
because it opens the door for you to learn things the right way in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
It'll take a man so long to just try to figure it all out.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a great element of deception out there. He can't do it. It takes the knowledge and wisdom of God to learn of God. And the enemy will take you so far out there that you can't get back. But the Lord will show you things, the true things. And I was talking to my boss. We talked sometime about the Lord. And he said, we was talking about time. He said the most accurate teaching on time is it comes from religion. Because the word gave give us exactly what happened. The word of God give us exactly what happened. And if no matter what the scientists find, it goes right back to the word of God. They don't see it because they're not looking here. But we can see it because we believe him. And the word, it takes us so far. So now we'll pick up on page 110 in the Presenting the Holy Spirit book. We finished page 109 last week. And this is the Holy Spirit, the seven offices of the Holy Spirit. And he, as he guides us in all truth, he serves seven offices. In Zechariah, we see the seven spirits of God, and Isaiah names the seven spirits of God. When there's one Holy Spirit, but he manifests himself seven ways: spirit of counsel and might, understanding. I'll look at it because it's too important to mess up. Isaiah 11, and in life. He will, as he guides you, he's operating from one of those manifestations. And verse 1 in Isaiah 11, verse 1 says, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord, that's one, shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom 2, understanding, 3, the spirit of counsel, 4, in might, 5, the spirit of knowledge, 6, and of the fear of the Lord, 7. So we have these manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And everything that he does, it works together as one to get us on track with God, in agreement with the Lord, and he helps us to pray. This is one thing that he'll help us do in our situations. It's God's perfect will that we have a healthy life. If our life is healthy, then we can serve others. Mm-hmm. Remember, the first commandment that God told Adam was to be fruitful. Mm-hmm. In order to be fruitful, you have to be healthy. Because a fruit is healthy, and it gives you something.
Nourishment.
And then it has a seed that will produce many times more. See, when you eat the fruit, it's not done. You plant the seed, you get more trees and more fruit. It's a never-ending cycle. We're designed to live forever. So I said, Lord, help me break it down. I said, what's your definition of fruitful? He said, it's to prepare yourself to give profit. So if we do these things, we prepare ourselves to serve others, to be a blessing to others. We study the word so our life can be strong, and then we can help others build their life and their lives to be strong, especially the children that come after us. They'll see us studying God's word, and it'll be normal for them to do it. And when we're fruitful, we produce fruit after our kind. Now keep that thought in mind, because that's very foundational. And I learned from the Holy Spirit that he thinks of it. I always say he thinks of everything. Because I remember times he would guide me to do things, and I didn't know why. And he didn't always explain it. But he'd tell you. And I'd do it, and it made sense, but he didn't always tell me why and where he was going with it. So I said, I asked him why, but he'll keep talking about what he's doing or the next step. He didn't always answer my concerns. But over time, it all made sense. And I even saw why he didn't answer some of them. That's another topic, though. But everything he do, it made sense. And sometimes you just have to trust him, because that's what he said. It'll make sense later. In the last class, we talked about the anointing. The anointing is in the instruction. Whatever he tells you to do, an anointing to do it comes with it. But the anointing is dormant if you don't mix faith with it. The anointing has to be activated. And that's where the training comes in. The Holy Spirit will help. In these offices, he will train you for what he wants you to do. You already, if he said do it, you have the anointing. The anointing is increasable. David who was anointed more than once? The anointing will increase on your life. The more you activate it, the more you operate in it, you'll find yourself doing greater things. Saul was anointed with the vial of oil. And David was anointed with the horn of oil, because he stayed in God's presence. He was able to receive more.
Now, Saul was anointed with
a vial of oil. But when he told Samuel to anoint David, he said, get your vial and go anoint my servant. He went and he anointed David. David lived in God's presence. Remember, God told Saul, he said, I have chosen a neighbor that is better than you. Now, what made him better than Saul? His obedience and devotion. He was more suitable. He was more pliable to the Holy Spirit. He had the heart of God. And the Lord selected him. Now, out of every man in Israel, that's who God chose. He always does an evaluation when he chooses. When he chooses you to do something, he evaluated everybody. And he chose you to do it. So when it comes to you, study the word and prepare to do whatever he say do. you have to receive his words. Every word that I talk a lot about things, how things went and how God moved, and I made a lot of mistakes, and I learned from it. I probably made more mistakes than success. Only God knows. I made all kind of mistakes. But I would go back and say, Lord, how did I miss it? What went wrong? That was a time the Lord told me to do something, and then he stopped talking. I said, things aren't moving along. I said, Lord, what's wrong? And he still didn't talk. And I said, what did he tell me the last thing to do? And I thought about it. I thought about it. I said, oh, man, I didn't do that. I said, Lord, I repent. And then he started talking. And right then he gave me this message called Backtracking to Success. If the Lord ever tell you to do something and you let it go and things stop moving along and he stopped talking, go back to that and repent and obey him. Because the Lord don't skip steps. Everything he's given me to do, that was a foundation prepared and training for it. When you have the anointing, you have to have the training so that you'll have faith in it. You have to maintain faith in what you're doing. It's kind of like salvation. We don't believe God one time, and that's it. From the time you first believed on Jesus, your faith is just like these lights. It's on. It stays on. You don't turn it off. It stays on forever. And whatever God gives you to do, you have to be in faith about it. And it's on. You're in agreement. As long as your faith is intact, you're in agreement with God. And you act on it. Faith is an act. It's a verb. It's always in motion and it's always on. That's different. You know, trust is similar to faith. Trust is reliance. Because I trust God, I use my faith. Same thing with vision. Vision is developed faith. I can see myself doing these things. You have a visual. You have vision. You know where you're going. You know it's going to be good. Because I believe this vision, I'm going to operate by my faith. Faith is always the verb side of trust and vision. So the anointing requires it. So you have to be trained for it. And Gideon was anointed to deliver Israel God's way, not his way, not the way of man, but the way of God. So he had to stay in faith about what he was doing. And the Lord said, if you be afraid to go down, go. He had him to go listen to what the enemy was talking about. And one of the Midianites had a dream that a barley cake came and tore up the whole army. And the other one said, this is nobody but Gideon. And they said the Lord was with him. So he left encouraged, still having faith in what God gave him to do. So his anointing worked. When the enemy get preachers to stop and fall short, he always changed their focus, get them out of the realm of faith. If he can get them out of faith, he can get them to compromise. That's why we can't allow anything to be bigger than God in our eyes. So it's important for us to live a healthy life. If whatever problem exists, kill it God's way. And that's why he said, and the Holy Spirit, he's interested in our lives being healthy. In page 110, it says, applications of prayer. In this practical little epistle, the Apostle James lists seven applications of prayer in which he clarifies for us how to pray in certain situations. Careful attention to his instruction will help us gain the answers we need when we are in these situations. God's pattern always works when we walk in the understanding of his ways. James gives us some very needed understanding in this passage. All right, he said, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. If you're afflicted, let him pray. If the enemy comes against you, attacks your body, don't just let it go. Get it solved. Solve the problem. Pray and destroy the works of the enemy. And then she breaks it down. She says, this is personal prayer. The word afflicted means to leave lame tracks. In Old Testament, a man could not qualify for being a priest if he was afflicted, because he would automatically leave lame tracks. In the spiritual application, a crippled person is one who does not walk with God in the way he should, in the way he should walk. James instructed men to pray for themselves. If they were lame or afflicted, pray for yourself. If you are not keeping God's commands and settle the issues, then settle the issues between you and God. Do not ask someone to lay hands on you to pray for your affliction or sin. God will hear your repentant prayer and answer it. If it's a problem of sin, you gotta drive that out. You gotta pray. You gotta ask forgiveness. That's your responsibility, not somebody else's. And so she clarified what he said. I'm gonna have to go back and study the lame tracks. But I remember reading in the Old Testament, it was God was very particular about things like that. Even when they offered sacrifices, you couldn't offer a lamb that was blind or had a birthmark or crippled, injured. You had to offer the best. So I believe she's right there. And all right, continuing. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And she points out that the person that's sick need to do the calling of the elders, unless they're unconscious, of course. We can pray for people that can't speak for themselves. But she points out the responsibility of the sick person to ask for help. The Lord, he asked the man at the pool of Bethesda. Now, he's paralyzed. He can't get in the water. He didn't have nobody to put him in. He had somebody to bring him there, but they would always leave, because they didn't know when the angel was going to trouble the water, hoping somebody else would put him in. He really wanted to be healed. But Jesus asked him the question, will you be made whole? And, you know, that's a strange reply to somebody that can't move. But that reply suggests that you can, because you can have a relationship with the Lord. You can ask the Lord whatever you will, and it will be done. The Word of God will charge our heart to the point that we'll see the truth of God's Word only, and we'll destroy every doubt. Doubt is always antichrist. Every doubt, doubt, unbelief, and fears against, that's not the fear of God. The fear of man, the fear of situations, the fear of demons, fear of Satan, all of those things are antichrist. Doubt is always antichrist. I see it, and he taught me about, when he was teaching me about focus, he said, faith looks to God, pride looks within, fear looks to man. I said, what about doubt? It seemed to be some kind of focus. And I said, what about doubt? I wanted to see what the Lord would say about doubt. He already told me it was a disabler. That was the definition of it. But he said, doubt is a surrendering focus. When you see the situation, you give up. That's doubt. When you look at the word and you can't believe it'll happen for you, you surrender to the problem. In this world, there's no reference for faith and believing God. Only in Christ. Not even in religion. They don't expect God to talk. They don't expect anything from God. And the enemy brought those damnable heresies in church. Doctrines of devils that, you know, years ago the enemy got a foothold against the church. Said that healing went out with the apostles. God stopped calling the apostles to minister. Speaking in tongues went out with the, we know that these are lies. He gave us five types of ministers because it's necessary. He gave us healing because it's necessary. He didn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. It's our job to believe God and not doubt in our heart. And the word of God will help us kill our doubts and unbelief. They are fiery darts. Yeah, it's always satanic. Doubt is satanic, just like the Antichrist is satanic. Fear and unbelief is the same way. Fear is, God said he never gives us the spirit of fear. That's an evil gift. Fear is evil. When you know that the Lord is with you, perfect love casts out fear. Amen. The word of God, would, if you train in the word of God, if you take time and learn of him, like David was saying, he becomes big and the world becomes small. You'll find yourself laughing at the things of this world. And this is the healthy life that we receive by faith. All of God's word, we can't just learn it. We receive it. And then we learn it. You know, people say, I study the word, but I don't understand. Keep studying the word. It's spiritually discerned. Before you can learn, really learn it, you have to build your heart up. Fill your heart with the word. Just receive it. That's easy. Receiving is, you're just taking it by faith. You say, I'm going to, and then when you get to the point where you say, I'm going to do this, now you're bringing it home. You're receiving it. I say, one day I said, I trust Jesus as my Savior. I'm going to do what he said, whether I like it or not, whether it makes sense to me or not, because I trust him. And a lot of things I did, I wasn't in full agreement with it, but I found out that it works. I did it by faith. I couldn't see the end result from the beginning point. So these are things that the Holy Spirit came to help us with. He's our comforter. He brings things to us. Now, when it comes to when we live a healthy life, now we can multiply. We can go forward in life. We can you don't have to know everything. But the things that the Lord is training you for, you're going to have to know that. But what you're going to pull off is going to be big, and it's going to be it's amazing. If you continue, once the Holy Spirit give you something to do, do it with all you got. Receive his word and ask him every question you can imagine, because you're going to have to believe that you have to believe in what